Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
So let's turn there to Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. Shall we bow our heads as we look to God in prayer? Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that in looking to you, we find just what we need tonight. We find wisdom. We find that you want to bless us as your Spirit and the Word are active. And we pray that we would be active tonight, that we would respond appropriately to your word, that we would listen and give ourselves to it. It's hard work sometimes to listen. It's hard work to preach. So we pray that you'll bless the preacher and the listener. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody has written these wise words. Many Christians have enough religion to make them decent, but not enough to make them dynamic. The Apostle Paul was writing to some Christians, maybe some of them weren't Christians, who were, I guess, decent people, but they weren't dynamic Christians. They were practicing formal religion. So let's open up tonight this passage, and the first heading will be a formal Christian is not a Christian in God's sight. Now, I'm not talking about how you dress. I'm dressed pretty formally tonight. I could dress more formally, but this is fairly formal because I'm representing a pastor. I am a pastor, and I'm preaching God's word. Therefore, I wear a necktie and I wear a sport coat. Nobody said I had to, but I think it's a good idea. You're not all very formal tonight. That's fine. We don't have a dress code here. I don't at my church. But he's not talking here about jeans and jackets and neckties and dresses. Paul is talking about something far more spiritual than that. He's talking about their hearts, and we're going to open that up too. So Romans 2:28 again, it says, a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly. He's talking to the Jews here, but he's talking to us tonight. And we're not Jews, we're Christians. Now, we're Jews in the sense that we're sons of Father Abraham, who's our spiritual father. In that sense, we're Jews. And we have the same faith that Father Abraham had. He trusted God, he believed in God, and he was declared righteous. That's why we are indeed Jews spiritually. But in terms of our ethnicity, however you pronounce it anyway, we are not Jews in that sense, but we are indeed Christians tonight if we have faith and trust in God and in Christ, his Son. So what do I mean when I speak of a formal Christian? I want to open that up, and I want us to look tonight at this whole idea of not dress code again, but of what it means to really be an inward Christian, not just one on the outside going through the motions. When a person is a Christian in name only and not in reality, he is a formal Christian. Did you hear that? If we only say that we're a Christian, but we're living like the devil, then we are just what we call formal Christians. So when a Christian in outward rituals is considered a Christian, then something's wrong. And there are denominations, and I'm not going to mention any, which has a whole lot of ritual, but a whole lot less true Christianity. You ask these people about their faith and why they're Christians, and they inevitably say, because I take communion, because I put money in the offering plate, because I have been baptized, on and on it goes. But where are the inward feelings and affections? And I said feelings. There's nothing wrong with feeling really, really good about being a Christian. There's nothing wrong with having genuine affection for Christ. I remember a lady in a church where I was a pastor a few years ago, and I kept hearing her say in her prayers, "Jesus, we love you. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you." Now, have you ever really heard very many people say that in their prayers? Well, she did. She had this affection for Christ. She had this affection for God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. She was not a formal Christian. She was a genuine Christian, way down deep inside. And so when a person is a Christian by profession only and not practice, he has the form, but its substance and its power is lacking. So we could ask the question tonight, why do you suppose that the church in America really isn't all that powerful? Well, it's because some substance is missing. What's the substance? The substance should be Christ and Christ alone. The substance should be, I love Christ, I have affection for Christ, I'm saved by His grace. There is no real substance. It's just outward expression and no inward change. So the person who acts this way and has this, and I'll say it again, I've said it 3 or 4 times already, he has formal religion. So the question that I want you to think about as I go through the message tonight is, am I a formal Christian? I mean, that's the whole idea of preaching tonight, so that you would ask that kind of question. Am I just a formal Christian? So look for examples around us, and there are thousands of people whose entire religion seems to consist in keeping religious ceremonies. Now, there's nothing wrong with a ceremony if that is just all that it is a ceremony. There's nothing wrong with the sacraments. No, we're commanded to do it. But when we base our hope on that outward form and that sacrament alone and not on the Christ that's represented in that sacrament, like the Lord's Supper, then we don't have true religion. Many are banking all their hopes on baptism. Many are basing all their hopes that because they come to church regularly. That can even be just a formality without any real passion. That's why I loved your singing, and I loved the way you even read the Bible. This isn't flattery, just something I noticed, and I like it, I love it. Well, these people then, they don't really, what I'm trying to say is, know what experiential Christianity really is. Did you hear that? Experiential Christianity. It goes far deeper than ritual. So they are not familiar then with the Bible, and they take no delight in the Bible and in their personal devotions and meeting with Christ in their own private place. They have ungodly friendships. That's a pretty good test. I know a young man that got married a few years ago, and I met his fiance, and I thought she was very nice, and she seemed to be a Christian. In fact, I did the counseling for both of them. Boy, was I fooled by her. And what the real kicker was, when I met her friends, and I went, ooh, her friends are living that way? Her friends act like that? And they wound up getting a divorce in 6 months. And she now has been married 4 times. And he never got married again. And you see, she had something going on there that really wasn't true religion, in my opinion. I can't judge her ultimately, only God can. But I sensed it by looking at her friends that something was wrong. Well, maybe your friendships are fine, but what about your doctrines? These people care very little about the doctrines of the gospel, these people who are practicing formal religion. They might like the word justification, sanctification, and glorification. They might even have a wonderful head knowledge about what it means. They might even be able to teach a theology class, a Sunday school class. But they really don't have a real affection. They really don't have a real deep love for those doctrines. They appear utterly indifferent as to what they hear preached. Utterly indifferent. And so what can be said about these people? Only one thing: they have no heart and no life in their Christianity. They are formal Christians. Their religion is pure ritual. It's head knowledge. There's no practical godliness. That's all absent. They're not really interested in spiritual things at all. They are not truthful, humble, honest, kind, gentle, or generous. What are we to say about them? There's no fruit in their religion. Now, we have a list of fruit in the Bible in Galatians chapter 5. Beginning there with verse 19 through 21, we see the works of the flesh. And then beginning with verse 20 through 26, we see the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, goodness, self-control, patience. All of those things are fruits of the Spirit. You don't see that very much in these kind of people that have a formal religion. So if there is anything then which the Bible speaks of, it is the sin and the futility of formal religion. I think I've made my point. I think I've even harped on it because it's important. So I'll say it again: formal religion is worthless in the sight of God. And someday when we stand before God, it's all going to be revealed. Is it worthless in your life, your religion? Well, I hope and pray all of us have true religion and true love for Christ and His Word. Well, we read something else in the Bible. Jesus said these words in Matthew 15, verse 8. He's talking about these people who have only formal religion. He says, "These people honor me with their lips." Well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. But he goes on to say, "But their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Very shallow and very sinful. But notice the second thing this evening: the true Christian is a true Christian in his heart. Now, we've already kind of said that along the way, but I want to open it up a little more with the time remaining. A true Christian is a Christian in his heart. The heart is the real test of a person's character. The heart is the real test of a person's character. You may say and do things that are right from false and unworthy motives, while your heart is altogether wrong. We look at a verse like Proverbs 23:7. "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." What does that mean? It means what we think about in our mind really comes from the heart. They're interreacting. You really can't separate it. And that's why, and you folks that are single and you want to get married someday, whoever you're going to marry, it better be somebody that you really have a heart for. She may be just as beautiful as can be, or he may be as handsome as can be. They might not be that good looking, but if you have a heart for them, that's key, one of the keys. The real key is that you both know Jesus and you're both Christians, therefore. But you need a heart for each other. I say that because didn't Jesus say in the Bible that we are his bride? We the church are his bride. He has a heart for us. He loves to spend time with us, and we should love to spend time with him. Well, the heart is the right test then of a person's religion. It is not enough to hold the right creed or the right doctrines, as I said. The question is, what is God looking at? Well, he's looking at the heart. He's looking at the heart. He is a Christian who is one inwardly. Now, there's a wonderful passage that opens this up. I'll give you time to find it. It's there in the Old Testament book, Ezekiel chapter 36. We're talking here about the heart. God sees the heart. He knows if we're formal Christians or if it's something from the heart, and if we have a real love for him and compassion for him. Ezekiel opens this up in chapter 36, verse 26. He says here in verse 26, "I will give you a new heart, says the Lord God Jehovah, and put a new spirit in you. He says, I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And then verse 27, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So a stony heart is a hard heart. A stony heart is very hard. That's symbolic language for it's not very receptive to spiritual things. It's not receptive to the love of God in Christ. It's not receptive to and sensitive to what we're commanded to do as disciples. It's indifferent. And the stony heart is one that does not receive God's word and nurture spiritual growth. The Spirit gives a new heart. If you're a Christian tonight, and I'm going to say this boldly, and I'm going to say it as a matter of fact, if you're a Christian tonight, you do not have a stony heart. You have a heart that has the Holy Spirit dwelling in there, and the Spirit gives this new heart, and He also gives you a desire to love the Lord and obey Him, or none of us would love Him at all. Not at all. We wouldn't be here tonight. We'd be out there in the hot sun, or is it anyway, in the nice warm sunshine. We'd probably be somewhere on the beach or wherever, but we wouldn't be in here. So, my friends, it is faith from the heart that justifies. I said from the heart. Now, why did I say that? I said it about 12 minutes ago, that we can know these doctrines in our mind. Oh, we can be so, so knowledgeable of those wonderful doctrines, but really not have a heart for them. And not really have affection and love for them. So weak and feeble and imperfect as all of our deeds are, they please God because they are done from a loving heart. Isn't that one of the most encouraging statements you've heard for a while? It's very encouraging to me. I'll read it. I wrote it down. Weak and feeble and imperfect as all of our deeds are, they please God because they are done from a loving heart. Let me give you an example. We pastors, we go and visit somebody in the hospital. We should do it with a loving heart. We shouldn't go and think, oh, I could be doing something else. Wish I didn't have to fight the traffic and go to the hospital. That is not a heart for God's people. But sometimes a pastor might be tempted to think that because he's weak and feeble. You might be tempted to think that when you bring something to the potluck dinner. Why do I have to bring so much when some people don't bring very much? I don't know what you think. I'm just making this up to help illustrate. We can have a heart for that meal, but inside, we didn't really please God very much because we were comparing, and you know how it goes. We could give a million examples. Nevertheless, the Lord is so good and so gracious and so kind. And I'm not going to say He overlooks it, but I'm going to say He knows that we are dust. That's one of the best things I ever heard from my brother, who's also an Orthodox Presbyterian Church pastor in California, 5 years older than me. But he said to me one time when I asked him this question, I just wanted to know, how can God be so good to me when I'm a sinner? And he goes, He knows and He remembers that you are dust. You're a Christian, but He remembers that you're dust. And that's what we had. That's good news. Weak and feeble and as imperfect as we are, He looks into that heart of ours and He knows we love that people, those people at that hospital that we're visiting, but sometimes the motive might not be perfect, but He loves us and His Holy Spirit will convict us of that if we are reading the Scriptures and we learn that we are to have a whole heart for our ministry and for the church of God. So the outward things like baptism and the Lord's Supper and church membership and giving financially will never take any man's soul to heaven. None of it, unless our hearts are right. So turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. It says here, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. What's he saying? Well, in the Old Testament and in the time when Paul lived, the Jews were still circumcising their babies, and these were Christians, but they hadn't made the total transformation in the church to infant baptism, and they were still infants in their faith and in their religion. And Paul is saying that it's not enough to bank your hopes on that baby being circumcised and that you fulfill the law and the requirement. You have to be a person that really has a heart for me. So here is the question. Paul meant that true religion does not consist of rituals and ceremonies. True religion's essence is more than circumcision, more than the Lord's Supper, more than giving to the church. Paul meant that everything depends upon being born again. If that's true, are you born again? Pastor Tolley, you're really coming here tonight at Steve Igo's church and asking if we're born again? Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Are we really born again? Well, let's look at something in the Bible that we can use to help us discern if we have inward religion. The Bible is clear and emphatic. When the heart is wrong, all is wrong in God's sight. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3, we read these words about the Ark of the Covenant. Well, what does that have to do about formal religion? A lot. 1 Samuel 4, verse 3. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Shiloh so that it may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." There you have it, dear friends. So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty. And so here they thought that the Ark was what they would depend upon for protection, when it should have been Almighty God. They honored the Ark, but they did not give the God of the Ark their hearts. And notice our third and final point. True religion must never expect to be popular. True religion must never expect to be popular. Wow. Let's open that one up. It will not have the praise of man, but of God. Look there at Romans 2:29. Whose praise is not from men, but from God. God's truth and scriptural Christianity are never really popular. That sounds terrible coming from a gospel minister. I'm supposed to be selling, not selling, but some ministers act like they're salesmen. I'm supposed to be promoting, not really promoting. I'm supposed to be excited about the gospel. I am. But I'm talking here about the world. God's truth and scriptural Christianity are never really popular. And that's why you can be a wonderful person. You can have a great personality. And because you're a Christian, you're not always going to be popular. Now, sometimes you will be, because if you're a good, wonderful follower of Christ, there should be some great character traits there that people will see, like honesty. integrity, hardworking. On and on it goes. You would think that, man, the world would love that. The world does love it, but when they find out that you love Jesus, watch out. You're not going to be so popular. Sometimes you just might be, but not always. Generally not. They never have been popular. We never have, we never will be as long as the world stands. There are exceptions. But as long as human nature is what it is, the majority of people will always like formal outward religion. They won't like the religion that you have, which is inward. People desire a religion which does not require very much. And it does not interfere with their sins very much. That's what people really want. Formal Christianity satisfies people. We are all more or less Pharisees. That's a bold statement, but unless we're changed by a spirit, we are by nature Pharisees. We all cling to the idea that the way to be saved is to do so many things and to go through so many ceremonies that are religious that at last we will get to heaven. But that's not true religion. They say, oh, only say your prayers and go to church. To require more of anyone is often thought to be fanaticism and unbridled enthusiasm. My dad is dead. He went to be with the Lord a long time ago. But he taught me a major thing about true religion. And here it is. I love my dad. My dad was the finest man I know. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. He was a wonderful soldier. He was decorated. He was a great Christian man. And he always, always had us in church, morning and evening, not from a legalistic point of view. He wasn't a great theologian, had a fifth grade education. But he was smart and he was spiritual, hardworking, great man. And he said to me one time, son, we love to go fishing, but we are not going to buy a boat. We wanted a boat. He had five boys and one daughter. We wanted a boat. He said, I am not going to buy that boat, and here is why. I can afford that boat, but it's going to keep us from church. Now, I'm not against boats. I have one, too. I haven't used it all summer, but I have it. And I'm not against using it. But did you hear what my dad was really saying? Here's what he was saying. I'm a weak man. I'm interpreting this. I'm a weak man. I love God. I love Jesus. And I don't want to make an idol out of any of that. Because I know that I will eventually do just that. And I'll lead you kids into the same thing if I'm not careful. Now that's the interpretation. And so I respect my dad so much because he was honest enough to say what was in his heart. I love the church, I love my Savior. And I'm not going to go that way with that boat. Now, that seems like such a silly thing. No, not really, because he knew his heart. So I want to wind down this sermon by just saying, God looks down from heaven, and whenever he sees heart repentance for sin, heart faith in Christ, and heart holiness of life, he is pleased. And then when we stand before him someday, the words of Matthew 25:21, we will hear Christ from the heart say this, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You see, the Lord's not going to say, you never miss communion. The Lord's not going to say, I don't think. I don't know. He might. But he's not going to base our salvation on our good works and rituals. He's going to base it upon grace, which he has imparted in your heart by the blessed Holy Spirit. And you love him back, and you serve him from a true heart. And so, my dear friends, I want to close reading these words. Formal religion does not bring us hope on our deathbed. Oh, that each of us would see the danger of a heartless Christianity. Let us seek from God the promised grace of the Holy Spirit and ask him to renew the inward man. And then finally these words, look forward and hope for the coming of the Lord and rest your hope on that day. That day will show how wonderful it is that we have been given hearts that love Jesus. That will be revealed. Don't you get mad at yourself sometimes when you let Jesus down? Don't you just want to please him and sometimes you fail? That tells me you have a heart for Jesus. But he makes that ultimate call, and it will be revealed on that last day. I want to close with this reading from Romans 2:16. God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. May God go with you, dear friends, as you continue to give him your heart and as you continue to love him, to trust him, and to reject altogether this whole notion of formal religion. Shall we pray together? Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving us insights into your word as your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts about this subject of the heart and formal religion. Thank you that, oh, so many examples in the Bible show us that Jesus loves his church. He loves and has a heart for our church. May we have a heart for him, and may we not just go through the motions, but truly have affection and love and true religion. In Jesus' name we
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.